Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Thought for Food podcast. As always, I am your host, Steve Bernstein, and today I want to talk about AI. AI is a fascinating topic because I think a lot of the way people look at AI is that, you know, in a couple of years, it's going to take over the world, and none of us are going to have our jobs anymore. We're all going to be sitting at home, and we're not going to have any income, and only the smart people and the people who came up with AI are going to be making any money. And it's like a real fear like people have. So I want to go through it very quickly. And I want to go into, I think a bunch of years ago, it was a very developmental stage, and I think like when ChatGPT came out, I feel like that was when really the tidal wave of AI came. Because I think once you have that, you can already start using AI to actually do things and not just, you know, talk. I think you can program it to set up certain things. So let's just start off with that. So it's come a long way, and when it first came out, I was dying to go home and try ChatGPT, so I did. So I asked it a bunch of different things. I had a bunch of different theories I wanted to ask it. I asked it on Gemara, and I just learned Rav Chaim, so I asked it Rav Chaim, and I actually knew the Rav Chaim, and it explained it the wrong way, and I asked the Kashan, and it's fun to interact with, but it doesn't really listen to you. It's basically, I came out very quickly, it's an all-knowing, all-encompassing thing, which basically means it basically takes all the information that it knows, and it summarizes it. So to me, it's like a Likud of Google. Right, you type something into Google, and you get a million different results. AI has all those results, and it can tailor the search engine to your specific words and choice. And the way you interact with it is basically with that. So the way I think it's programmed is that it has all the information it needs. It doesn't need you. So if you're trying to present a theory or you're trying to argue with it, it's a terrible chavrusa. It's really, really terrible. You know, it can't explain anything to you. In fact, someone actually told me, his uncle is a part of TAG in Lakewood, and when ChatGPT came out, one of the Rabbanim were like, you know, one of these things come out, you know, you have to like see what the boundaries are and like whether we can allow these things. So I forgot which called the Kubi was Rav Ruhenreich said like right away, it can be masber to me or I can explain it to Rav Chaim, but it can't explain to me or Rav Chaim. Basically, if I don't understand something, AI cannot explain it to me, because aside from the human interaction that it lacks, it can't know what you have shver. You could tell it, but it's just very not interactive. Like if you're trying to argue on conventional wisdom, which obviously that's what we do here a lot on these podcasts. So like I told it, I forgot it could be it was a stock theory that I had actually done a little bit, and like nothing crazy. Just like I think I argued it was like basically day trading, basically like buying short term stocks and then whatever it is. It just didn't listen. Like it went through, oh, day trading is bad because if you lose then like it just had the basic tenets. I said no, but what about this? And it didn't listen. It just kept repeating the information it had as opposed to adapting to my tenet. Right? When I argue with you the listener who's engaging in a very critical debate with me right now as you're listening to me, which by the way I hope you do see, like the problem I always think about with podcasts is it's like unfiltered listening. Like when you listen to Ben Shapiro, you don't argue because he presents a very well laid out sugya and he just gives you the bottom line, so you feel like you've been through it all and you came out with a maskana. It happens to be his. So hopefully you don't do that by us. Hopefully you take the time, you argue, or you don't argue, you agree, but you got to go through it. You got to go through it with me. And if you disagree with me, turn it off and tell the guy next to you, I just in this podcast, this guy's a loser. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't want you to agree. I don't want you to disagree. I just want you to think. Adkan. That is the message that we give over our motto here. We give you thought for your food. That's our motto here at the Thought for Food Incorporated industry. So getting back to AI, it really doesn't listen. Like when I have a debate with you, I can adapt my taina based off of what you say, right? It's a give and take. AI, there's literally no give and take. It's a program of numbers and you know, sequences, and it's supposed to interact with me based off of its coding. So there's no adaptability. It's very, very limited. So again, like I said, it's a Likud of Google. Basically, to me, it was like a time saver of like information I want to know. As opposed to looking 8 sites for recipes, Lumber Zogin, give me this. Like, I don't know, my mother needed to organize like some Excel spreadsheet. So she put in all the information, and then it did. This is silverware, this is dips, this is this, and it did it very quickly. So again, it's very capable of organizing, it's very capable of finding the best information. I just don't know how much use it is. So I think that's really the next step. The next step is to take this program and use it for actual real life things, like, you know, assembly line is like probably the first thing that comes to mind, like a lot of these things. I think another thing that these things can have, customer service. I feel like you start to see it when you complain online to all these places. They give you to chatbots right away, and then if you don't want them, then you go to real people who are almost worse than chatbots in a way, because they don't even know, they don't understand. But the point basically is that the customer service, I think, can be easily taken over with AI, you know, at a certain point. Data entry, which is a basic thing, like bookkeeping, I think can be taken over very easily. I think a lot of manufacturing machinery can probably be taken over. Definitely transportation, that's a biggie. I mean, obviously, you know, they're going through it now, and it's funny, like whenever there's a crash, you hear about it, which is hilarious to me because, like, you know, it's every couple of years that, like, one of these self-driving cars gets into a crash. But Randy Gregory, who got drunk on the 85 and crashed and killed 8 people, you don't hear about him. You know why? Because at least you can blame Randy Gregory. The problem with AI, who are you going to blame? The manufacturers? You know what I mean? Like, there's no one to blame, so it feels much worse. Like, oh, what a tragedy. Yeah, Randy also killed a bunch of people. And he, in fact, millions and millions get people killed from car accidents a year, but I would actually assume that the tragedy rates are much lower with self-driving cars. I think it's just a much bigger deal whenever it doesn't work. That's a sidecar, but I think the point is transportation, definitely at a certain point we're going to get there. And it's not like, you know, flying cars. Like, it's a matter of time. Like, I've seen developmental type of things, and I think there are some taxis that do it. I think it's only a matter of time. I'm saying if you look at, like, certain self-driving modes that vehicles have, like I was in one and the guy showed me, like, if you pay a premium then you get a better one, and he said, like, on the roads it's a little bit more rough because there are more obstacles than this. On the highways much easier, but he said, like, he was in a different car, like a really high tech self-driving system, and even in the roads he said it was pretty much flawless. Again, they have a thing with the wheel and you have to try to keep your fingers on it every couple minutes, every 30 seconds, and then I think they started selling on Amazon a thing that can tap the wheel every 30 seconds just so you don't get the alert. Again, they're going all through it, but I think it's only a matter of time. Like, that's something I could definitely see happening down the road. I think basic healthcare type of thing, I think even like lawyers. And I think the point I'm really trying to get to is I think that the people who have to be scared is the more lower intelligence type of jobs, right? Again, like, that's some point I'm trying to say, like, with healthcare and law, any lower level staffer that's like an intern level in these type of job industries, they can easily be taken over, right? I think the people with more experience and more adaptability, and they've been around the block and they know all the ins and outs, I don't think you can give that over to you. I don't think so. Because things change. It has to learn. It's not Maven Dover, me Tech Dover. That's, I think, the critical problem with AI. But as an intern or a low-level staffer at any of these places, you don't have to be Maven Dover, me Tech Dover. You just have to kind of like do things and figure out, like, do the dirty paperwork almost, right? Things like that. So I think those things can very easily be taken over. And you see, even for like language processing, right? Like, think about like Siri and Alexa and all these things. Like, they're very useful for like simple, practical things. So I think with a lot of these jobs, any simple, practical job you do can very easily be taken over. And again, just like some just easy jobs, telemarketers can easily be taken over. Again, assembly line workers, data entry people, bookkeeping, like low-level accounting, truck drivers, taxi drivers, customer service, market research analysts, legal assistants, inventory managers, a lot of these like overall data type of thing, like these, you know, very tedious jobs that is kind of like having a person manage a lot of data. AI, if you program it well, which again, I think it's going to take a bunch of years, and I'm sure they're working on it as we speak, I think those jobs can very easily be taken over. But again, I will just say it's something fascinating to think about, because if you're talking about the low-level people, and if you're going to be taking over them, if I'm right, then they're not going to be taking over the higher-level people, which I think to be true. Again, I don't know this practically, but I think this makes sense to me, then you're going to lose out on everything. Because think about it. How did the high-level people get there? They were once low-level interns, and they went through the rigmarole of the system Good word, by the way, rigmarole. Not exactly the touch, but I think I used it correctly. And once they go through this, the rigmarole, yeah, they finally get to the higher level positions, and they've had to go through that to be able to get where they are. They had to do the little tedious jobs to be able to be the manager of the firm and to have their name atop the law firm building. But if you cut that out, then you're not giving anyone an entry point to get to that. So you're almost cutting off the industry on its face, because you're taking out all the low-level workers, and then you're trying to expect people to just take the jump from nothing to like medium or high level. So I don't know how that's going to work. Like, to me, this is, put it very succinctly, it, just the way technology is working nowadays, by the famous and great philosopher Robert Van Ness. He says, "Advancements in technology further worsen our ability to use them for their true purpose," which sounds very grandiose, as does a lot of the Robert Van Ness quotes, but I think it's a very simple idea. Technology is there to aid us, right? Like, if you gave someone certain technology advancements from years ago, they'd be, like, blown away. But then tell them, like, yeah, see this phone that, like, you can talk to your relative 16,000 miles away? People also don't think anymore because they're just on it the whole time. Like, is that a good trade-off? Like, it helps, but it doesn't help us do anything better with it. It's supposed to help us in better, you know, empower society, and it does. The problem is, the more it advances, the less we are able to advance with it. Meaning, I almost think it's going to get to a certain point where, meaning, think of it like this. Someone had to come up with AI, right? You have to think, you have to be able to program AI. The thing is, if AI gets so good and no one ever realizes how to program it, then it's just going to stop at some point. Like, I almost think, like, inventing is just, like, advances in technology are going to stop, because we're not going to be capable enough, because we haven't figured out the small level things, which is basically what I'm saying with the low level jobs. You have to go through the little things to be able to get to the greater things, you know, the understanding of how industries and programs work. But if you're taking out the lower levels, then you don't give anyone an opportunity to get to the higher level. So I think when it comes to technology, when it comes to lawyers and doctors and all these low level type of things, you're cutting out the smaller part of the industry, which might cut out the higher part of the industry, because anyone who wants to get to the higher part has to go through the lower part first. To summarize, I think the main idea I'm trying to say is that the lower level jobs and the more repetitive and data driven jobs do have something to fear. And I think maybe in a bunch of years, when the programs eventually develop, I think they do have something to be afraid of, that they might lose their jobs. But I think, just to end off with the line from the great philosopher Robert Van Ness, he would always say that robots are secondary to humans unless they're dumb. In that case, even artificial intelligence trumps no intelligence.